Did we do paragraph 2 of 100? We did, okay, so move on to 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're going to go on to paragraph 3, but let's go back to paragraph 2 and read the verse that's under discussion. Read the verse again. This is from the prayers of personified Vedas. Ka'i anu veda batavara janmalayo grasaram yata udagad vishir yamanu deva gona ubaye Tari nasan nachasad ubayam natala javaha kimapina tatra shastram avatrishya shayita yada. Everyone in this world has recently been born and will soon die. So how can anyone here know him who existed prior to everything and who gave rise to the first learned sage, Brahma, and all subsequent demigods, both lesser and greater. When he, the Lord, lies down and withdraws everything within himself, nothing else remains. No gross or subtle matter or bodies composed of these, no force of time or revealed scripture. Everything is gone. It's not actually destroyed, but everything becomes unmanifest. Okay, the whole point here is how the unintelligent people fail to see the personal nature of the Supreme Lord. Especially since at the beginning of creation, nothing's visible, and there's nobody to see. Even when he's present by himself, there's nobody there to see him. So, therefore, the ignorant have a very hard time understanding how the Supreme Lord is the Creator when nobody was there at the creation to see. And so, therefore, they don't see it on their television or read it in the newspaper because there wasn't any reporter there at that time. So, paragraph 3, we're continuing. Yada, let's see, where's Yada? Interesting. Yada tu bhavan shastram. There is no Yada in the verse, that's interesting. I'm sorry? Oh, there's a da, the very last word. Okay, that Yada is being grammatically connected with shastram. That makes sense. It's the last line we're dealing with here, starting paragraph 3, the last line of the verse. Yada tu bhavan shastram swa vigyapakam vedam avakrishya vaikunta eva avakrishya shayita jagat karyam prati drishtim milayati. But when you take away, meaning you withdraw to Vaikunta, the scriptures, which is the Vedas, which give information about you, and then you lie down, you close your eyes from the business of creation. Tarhi tada anushayenam jivanam ganasadadam nasti. Tarhi means tada. Thus, at that time, The jivas who lie down together with you have no means for acquiring knowledge. At the time of annihilation, the jivas have to be in ignorance. There's no getting out of ignorance during the annihilation. Yatas tada nasat stula makashadi nacha sat. Now we're going back to the third line. Yatas tada nasat stula makashadi nacha sat sukshma mahadadi nachobayam sadasad adabdam shiriram nacha kala javahas tannimitta bhutam kala vaishamyam. After all, there is then means during the annihilation, there is then no sat, which means no gross sky and other gross elements, no asat, mahat and other subtle elements. I'm not going to say gross sky, I'm going to say sky and other gross elements. That's better. No asat, no mahat, tattva, and other subtle elements. No combination of both sat and asat. That is, bodies produced from the sat and asat. And there's no momentum of time. The volatility of time, which is the immediate cause of all this. What is momentum? Well, what's the technical meaning of momentum? Force that actually, it's force that keeps something from stopping. In physics, momentum is what keeps a thing going at a certain speed, keeps it going at that speed. What tends to keep it from stopping. That's momentum. Yes. Inertia. Is inertia the opposite? Is something that keeps a thing from stationary. And momentum is what keeps a thing moving. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's time. Anyway, there is. What are we? No momentum of time. Time has a momentum. It keeps things going. If it's 1 o'clock now, then you're not going to be able to stop it from being 2 o'clock before too long. No stopping it. That's the momentum of time. Kala javas. Javas is momentum. Okay. Evam sati tatra tada kimapi indriya prana adyapi na. This being so, at that time, other things, beside what was listed, other things, such as the senses, and the life airs also do not exist at that time of annihilation. Ayam artaha yada srishti samaye veda pracharitam tadvisham bhagavad gyanam tadar vat srishti katatvad dehad upadi kritantaratvad kala karma vishena malina sattvatvad tesham tad avadadane samartyam nasti. In other words, when, during the period of creation, such knowledge of the personality of Godhead is promulgated by the Vedas, jivas are incapable of discerning it properly because they fall into the degradation of material creation. Because their understanding is obscured by the imaginary features of body and its extensions, and because their nature becomes contaminated by coming under the sway of time and material work. So even during the time when the world is manifest, the jivas have problems with their knowledge. Their knowledge gets done. They can't understand the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead properly, because they're degraded by material entanglement, because their identification with body and its extensions obscures their understanding, and because they're under the sway of time and material work, Their very nature is contaminated. Therefore, they can't understand the Supreme as a person. During the creation, Yadatu tava pralaya samaye na bahuantaram asti. Okay, what about annihilation time? Then there's no all these coverings and all these distractions are not there. Maybe they can understand him during the annihilation. Tadapi tesham vedan tardana mahatamo maya susupti byam sadhana bhavan natatanu bhava samartyam iti. And when during the period of annihilation the multitude of entities other than you is no longer present, they have no means of knowing you due to the disappearance of the Vedas and their own deep sleeping condition and dense ignorance. Thus they are incapable of realizing you. So it's a dim prospect for the conditioned souls. How they're going to get out of their ignorance seems quite difficult. Commentary. The Vedas are eternal, but conditioned souls are often not in a fit condition to take advantage of them. Life after life, they become distracted by small-minded ambitions, foolishly ignoring the facilities of Vedic guidance. Only rarely a more fortunate soul listens to the advice of spiritual preceptors and begins to follow the Vedas' teachings. Then, when the world as the fallen jiva knows it is dissolved, then those jivas must go into deep sleep in the body of Lord Brahma for billions of years, during all of which time they will have no access to the progressive practices of life according to the Vedas. No ears to hear with, no tongues or hands with which to worship. Okay, any comments? Nityananda Prabhu was first.
Okay. Well, it seems like the beginning of the translation is similar to the last part of the translation, speaking about the annihilation part.
The first part is similar to the last part.
Like jivas lie down together with you, have no means of acquiring knowledge.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, yes, it's sort of, the part that begins a yamarta, the second half of the paragraph, is like a paraphrase. It's like saying the whole thing over again.
Okay,
just putting it all together into one big sentence. So there is repetition.
Okay.
It's a summary. You know, he first of all, in the previous paragraph in this, he gives a regular word-by-word commentary, and then he puts it all together into a paraphrase. Okay, yes.
One question about how to understand that their nature becomes contaminated by coming under the sway of time and material work. So how does time contaminate their nature and their understanding?
Okay, let's see, what's the word, Sanskrit words here?
Krita taratvat kala karma vashena marina satvatvat.
Te harupadi kritantaratvat kala karma vashena malina satvat. That phrase is kala karma vashena malina satvatvat. Well, kala causes the most to change. You know, somebody may start in the mode of goodness, but if you wait a while, the other modes will become prominent. Time allows the modes to compete. There's a time for the mode of passion to be prominent. Just like every day, in the middle of the day, the mode of passion is prominent. At night, the mode of it's conditioned by time. Time is the controlling factor there that makes the modes be prominent, different modes be prominent at different times. So a person's going to become contaminated. He may be in nice goodness, but wait long enough, he'll have to encounter the lower modes and he'll become contaminated by them. Not only time, but also their own karma. Even if the time doesn't make them become contaminated, their own material ambitions drag them down. So kala and karma both cause the degradation of the living entities. Also, the effect of time, anything in the material world, in due course of time, will be taken over by the mode of ignorance and will be will decay and die.
So he might have some very good understanding, or he might be in a very good condition to understand Vedas, but yes, then because of the influence of time, some lower modes start working, or because of, just because of his karma, yes, he might lose this good condition and he won't be able to understand it anymore.
Yes. Okay. Of course, this is not absolute rule. It's not that every living entity in the material world is condemned to this failure. But there's a great tendency, and a lot of living entities aren't very successful with any spiritual endeavor, or don't even care to try. But there's not an absolute rule. It's not that that nobody can avoid this trap. Anything else? Okay, we'll move on to the next one. Tatacha Shrutayaha. In this connection, there are such statements of Shruti as the following. Okay, let me check where these statements come from. From the Taittiriya Upanishad, first, and then from the Rig Veda, 10th mandala. 10th mandala is the last section of the Rig Veda. And then a verse, a statement from the Ishopanishad. And finally, we have an unreferenced one. We don't know what the last one is. Okay, here's the verses, or the statements. Natam vidata yaima jajanyad yushmakam antara babuva yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasasaha. Okay, I'm sorry, those are two different statements. The first one, the one before the yato vacho, is a prose passage that I can't identify. I don't know where it comes from. And this connect, okay, the first statement is, all of you cannot know him, the one from whom all these beings took birth, and the dualities you know arose. You know these dualities, but you don't know he from whom the dualities arose. And then, yato vacho nivartante aprapya manasa saha, from the Taittiriya Upanishad. From approaching which words desist and which the mind fails to reach. Then a statement from the one verse from the Rig Veda. Ko adha veda ka iha pravochat kuta ayata kuta iyam vishrishtihi arva deva asya visarjani tata visarjani nato poveda yata abubhuva. Now these are all statements supporting the idea that most of the conditioned souls cannot understand the Supreme as a person. Notice that these verses, well, the first statement and the second verse are using masculine forms, yaha and kaha, not neuter, referring grammatically to a person. Who, question from the Rig Veda, who actually knows him? Who in this world can describe him? Where has everything come from? What is the source of this creation? Since the demigods were sent forth into creation by him, they are more recent. Who knows from where he has come? So you see, the Rig Veda is asking serious philosophical questions. The answers aren't given. For answers, you have to go to the Upanishads. But right there in the Rig Veda, all the philosophical questions are asked. And then from the Isha Upanishad, something of an answer to those questions. Ane jare kam manaso javiyo nainam. That's also a masculine pronoun, enam, right? Masculine? Enam is masculine. Can't be neuter, right? Enat is neuter, yeah. So it's masculine, personal. Ane jare kam manaso javiyo nainam deva apnuvan purvam arshad. Tadavatonyan atyeti tishtat tasmin apo matarishvadadati. Apo is the plural form? Apa is singular? Oh, there is no singular form. Okay. Okay, anyway, this says from the Ushupanishad, all foe fixed in his abode. The personality, of course, this is Prabhupada's translation. Yeah, the Ishopanishad doesn't use the word personality of Godhead. It just uses a pronoun, a masculine pronoun, enam, this. Prabhupada translates, although fixed in his abode, the personality of Godhead is swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. The powerful demigods cannot approach him, although in one place he controls those who supply the air and rain. He surpasses all in excellence. Okay, so he's what he is, and the demigods can't approach him. They can't get near him, so they don't really know him. Even the demigods don't know him. Then another unidentified Shruti statement. Nachakshur natrotram natarko nasmitir vedo hyevainam vedayati. Again, enam, the masculine form. Ityadyaha. Another statement, the eye does not know him, nor the ear, nor conjecture, nor the smritis. Indeed, only the Vedas give knowledge of him. Interesting last statement is that there is a source of knowledge about him, but that's the Vedas. With the support of the Vedas, guidance of the Vedas, these conditioned souls can gain knowledge. Okay, that's the end of the Anuchet. Shrutayaha Shri Bhagavantam. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 10:87-24, was spoken by the Shrutis to the personality of Godhead. And then the commentary, it is not only Sri Shukadev's poetic imagination that some of the Vedas and Upanishads are very God-conscious and concerned for the God-conscious of others. Shukadev's poetic imagination when he composed the prayers of the personified Vedas, supposedly. Someone may think that Shukadev wrote those prayers. You know, he just made them up. And it's just his imagination. No, it's not just his imagination. That some of the Vedas and Upanishads are very God-conscious and concerned for God-consciousness of others. Here is cited a small sample of the many statements of Shrutis that express their sympathy for the ignorant conditioned souls. And there, let's just say this, sympathy for the ignorance of, because that's what they're sympathetic about, that these poor guys are so ignorant. Sympathy for the ignorance of the conditioned souls. Okay, comments on that? Yes.
Maybe it's already fixed in the last sentence of the commentary we have. Shruti then express their sympathy.
Yeah, I took out the two extra these.
Okay.
I just did that.
Uh-huh. We also have one question about this passage from Rig Veda.
Yes.
It translated that who actually knows him, who in this world can describe him. Just maybe I'm mistaken, but I cannot find where is this who is referred to. Like Kothina Veda Ka Iha Pravachet Kuta Ayata Kuta Yam.
Kuta Aya Kuta Yam. Let's see. Ka Ada Veda Ka Iha Pravachet. Okay, that actually is two subjects. Who did this and who did that? who knows him and who can describe him? So actually, the Ka are not the supreme, but the persons who can't know or describe the supreme. Kuta ayata, kuta iyam vishvishtihi. From whom ayata? Well, there's just two words there, kuta ayata. From whom came, but the came is plural. No, it isn't. It isn't plural because it would have a visarga if it was plural. It's before came. That's a feminine form. So from whom all these beings took birth, I'm looking at the wrong verse.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the wrong translation. Okay, it's not going to match up, but I'm looking at the wrong one. Okay, who actually knows him? Who in this world can describe him? Where has everything come from? Well, problem is not everything, because it's ayata is actually feminine plural. It's actually the vishishti. Feminine singular.
Yeah.
And it refers to the to Vishrishti. So it's actually, let's fix this translation right now. It's not two questions. Kuta ayata, kuta iyam. Yeah, it is two questions. There's two kutas. Where did it come from? From where is this Vishrishti? Okay. You know, I don't have any help on this. There's no, I don't have a commentary to follow. Although we could go to Sayana's commentary, but he was a smarter Brahmin. Actually, he could help us. I didn't do that. I just tried to translate this Rig Veda mantra on my own. And it looks like I made some mistake in the second line. Kutaya, where has everything come from? What is the source of this creation? It seems to be repetitious. From which it came, or something feminine came. From where is this Vishrishti, this creation? Looks like ayata is not plural. It's not referring to everybody and everything, because it's feminine singular. Unless there was a visarga there. So, okay. Yes. Well, yeah, but it would take us too long to run up there and get it. You want to run up there and get it, if you know exactly where it is. No? Okay. To hold this up. I can do this, we can do this for homework. Yes.
So my question is that, like, it might be ambiguous how to understand who actually knows him, because you translated as him, as masculine, but it can be anything. We have no object in this sentence.
Well, okay. You could. I don't know. There is no expressed object. Who knows what? I just said him. Now, it may be understood from the context of the verse before this. So I think I have to look at the whole. I have to look at the whole prayer. And see how this fits in, because the missing object is probably there in the previous verse. And we have to work. I have to work further on this translation. I threw it together too quickly. Okay. Any other question about that? Because I'm gonna have to do this for homework. Any other question about the paragraph?
In the previous commentary, there was a mention about all the jivas lying within Brahma's body for
billions. Yes.
Is that the end of the day of Brahma? Or?
Yes, when Brahma's asleep during his night, and which lasts billions of years.
So the entire jivas, the samashti jiva, they reside within Brahma's body?
Yes. Okay, that's... We're told that in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures.
So when do they reside in Mahavishnu's belly, that the end of Brahma? Or?
Yes, they go back into Mahavishnu when Brahma is, when he leaves his body. Then the remaining jivas will wait for another creation. Okay. We start the next anuchet then. 101, last anuchet of the book. Atat tat purvakam vidusham bhaktiyaiva sakshad abhavaniyatvam ahatrivihi. Now let us consider that such being the case, that means the case that unintelligent people can hardly understand the Supreme as a person. Taking that into consideration, the intelligent can realize him directly only by devotional service, as stated in three verses. So there are three verses coming up, and they are from the ninth canto, eighth chapter. Three of them. Here's the first one. Okay, so the theme of this last anuchet is how intelligent people can realize him, but only by devotion, can realize him directly by devotional service only, which is the last theme, the last thing discussed in this sandarbha, this final conclusion. Napashyati tvam param atmano ajano na budyate dhyapi samadhi yuktibihi kuto pare tasya manak sharira dhir visarga shrishta vayam aprakasha. My Lord, even Lord Brahma is to this very day unable to understand your position, which is far beyond himself. Either by he can't understand it either by meditation or by mental speculation. So what to speak of others like us, who have been created by Brahma in various forms as demigods, animals, human beings, birds and beasts? We are completely in ignorance. Therefore, how can we know you, who are the transcendent? So that starts off that first verse in a pessimistic tone. We even Brahma can't understand you. How can we understand you? Explanation by Jiva Goswami. Ajana, ajo, Brahma api, tvam, adyapi, napashati, nacha budyate. Even unborn Brahma cannot see or understand you, even now. This is addressed to Krishna, or we'll see who's offering this prayer, but it's been being addressed to the Supreme Lord. We'll find out at the end of the anuchet. You don't have to tell us yet. Save it for the end. Tvam, second person pronoun. So it's being addressed to the Supreme Lord. Even Lord Brahma is to this very day unable to understand your position, which is far beyond himself. I'm sorry, that part I already read. The commentary by Jiva Goswami. Even unborn Brahma cannot see or understand you even now. Then Krishna, the Supreme Lord, asks, Katam Bhutam Atmanaha Param Patyat Rupam. Me, this is a mistake. Me who am like what? Who am like what? This is the Lord asking. The answer. You who are beyond the self, meaning that your form is internal. Form is internal. Well, the Sanskrit is pratyagrupa. But you can understand pratyagrupa to mean that which can't be seen with the external senses. It's internal in the sense it's not out there. We look around with our eyes, with our microscopes and telescopes, and we can't find the Supreme Soul. He's hiding somewhere inside. Pratyagrupa. That's the answer to the question. You're talking about me. What kind of me are you talking about? Kairhe tu bir api na budyate na pashyati cha. What are what? which means are inadequate for him to understand or see me. In other words, Brahma can't see or understand or see me. What means is he using to try to understand and see me that he fails to succeed at? The answer is samadhi yukti bi brahma samadhi napi aparoksham na pasyati. Yukti bi paroksham api na samyad budyate iti artaha. The means that Brahma fails to succeed at perceiving or knowing. The Supreme Lord is a person. Those are the means of meditative trance and logical arguments. Even by meditative trance on Brahma, on Brahman, he, Brahma, cannot see you in your unmanifest form. I'm sorry, can't see you in your manifest form. In other words, they can meditate on Brahma, but by that means he doesn't see the Supreme as a person. Nor by arguments can he understand you in your unmanifest form. And if you talk empirical logic, then you can talk about things that you see, but you'll never get to understand what can't be seen, just by argumentation. Apare arvachinas tu putas tuam pashyeyur budyeyran va. And how can others who are more recently born, everybody is more recently born than Lord Brahma, how can the other ones see or understand you? If even Lord Brahma can't, how can anybody else that was born after him see or understand you? Very pessimistic question. If you take that literally, then give up. Nobody can understand it. Arva china tvai hetuhu tasya brahmanaha. Why these others are only recent is stated by the words beginning tasya. The words beginning tasya are tasya manat sharira dir visharga shrishti vayam apakashaha. That means, let's see, of him means of Brahma. Tasya brahmanaha. Of him what? Manas cha shariram cha dish cha tabi sattvatamo vajak karya bhuta bir vivida ye devatiryam naranam sargas teshu shrishtaha. They are created, that means they means all the more recent beings after Brahma. They are created among the creations of various demigods, animals and humans, with their minds, bodies and intelligence, which are products of goodness, ignorance, and passion. Well, that explains how they're recent. They are various demigods, animals, and human beings that are created by Brahma out of the combination of, given their mind, they are supplied their minds, bodies, and intelligence. And those minds, body, and intelligence are given to the spirit souls. But the equipment that's given to them is material. It's made of the three modes, which makes it very difficult for them to have spiritual knowledge, encumbered by all this material baggage. Tatrapi vayam aprakashaha agyaha kuta pashyama ityartaha. Aprakasha, plural, adjective, here doesn't mean unmanifest, it means ignorant. We don't have any lights on in our brains. And among them, we are especially unenlightened, ignorant. So how can we see you? This is somebody speaking. We'll identify it when we get to the end of the anuccha. And he's saying, everybody aboard Enter Brahma has, you know, is unlikely to understand you, especially us, who are born way after Brahma, and we're totally unenlightened. Commentary. Real wisdom begins with recognizing that the Supreme Lord is not easily known. So this is not a dead end. It's just the beginning of the path to real knowledge, is to understand how hard it is to get such real knowledge, how most people can't have it. So it's rare and it's not going to be easy to find. Real knowledge, real wisdom begins with recognizing that the Supreme Lord is not easily known. Because people think that just by, you know, listening to some filmy bhajans, you know, and doing some rituals, you can actually understand the Supreme Lord. They're taking it cheaply. They really will not acquire proper knowledge. You have to understand, first of all, that it's not so easy to understand the Supreme Lord. It's not a cheap thing. And also recognizing that only the Vedas and authorities following the Vedas reveal his personality. And that only by devotional service can anyone establish a meaningful relationship with him. Thus, as the three verses cited in this Anuchet reiterate, souls covered by ignorance cannot possibly understand the personality of Godhead. Then the next three verses, I hope, will tell us how somebody can understand the Supreme Lord. Okay, any comments?
Sorry.
Just want to clarify on this translation. Of him means of Brahman. Brahman, like capital Brahman, which is Supreme Personality of Godhead.
But where's I think.
Yeah, it's a fourth sentence from the end of the translation.
Well, Brahmanaha is ambiguous.
Yeah, Brahmanaha. So it looks like it refers to Lord Brahma because they were born after Brahma. No, not after
Brahma.
Let's
see how it fits in the verse. Tasya does what there in the verse? Tasya manak sharira dhir. Okay, how is it in the translation? So what to speak of others who have been created by Brahma in various forms of the Devi. Where does this many forms of demigods, animals, human beings, birds, and beasts come from? Looks like Prabhupada has put that in there. It's not literally in the words, birds and beasts.
Maybe it means like Vayam Aprakashaha. Maybe this means like Vayam, we are Aprakashaha, and then it may be clarified that who does it mean, who are we?
Okay, I think we have a problem with the translation. Let me make a note. Does this translation fit the explanation? Okay, I can't answer correctly. I'm not sure. Who's the Tasya here? I think I have to study the verse. Go look at Sridhar Swami's commentary. Okay, what is Sridhar? Yeah, because Sridhar Swami is making it a little opaque here by just giving Brahmanaha, which could be masculine or neuter. Right?
Yeah, sure.
So, let me study this further. I made a note about it. Yeah. First of all, we may have to modify the translation. I just took it out of Prabhupada Bhagavatam. But to make it fit the commentary, to make it fit Jiva Goswami's explanation, we may have to modify the translation. Okay, I'll just have to leave that for further check, for further research. But any other questions about the paragraph? Okay. All right, but we're not going to move on. We don't have time for another paragraph. Yes.
So, in that passage from Rig Veda, Prabhuchad was two separate words. Are they supposed to be spaced?
Yeah, in the original Vedic language, Upasargas are not connected to the verb directly. They're separate words. And they don't even have to be right next to the verb. They could be separated by several words. They can even come after the verb. You see that sometimes in the Upanishads, but especially in the Vedic Samhitas. Upasargas are separate words, and they don't even have to be exactly before. They don't have to be right before the verb. They could be somewhere else in the sentence.
But then pra avochat has to be two separate words then.
I'm sorry?
This
is two separate words, and what I'm saying is in the original Vedas, verbs and upasargas are considered two separate words. The pra is a separate word in the Vedas.
But yeah. Because it should be avochat bhuteshvara.
Okay,
pra avochat. But we have only pra without avochat.
Where is it?
It's Anusheda 100.4.
Okay, 100.4.
And this
Rigveda verse quoted. Vochat. You want to make it what? I think it's two upasargas. It's pra and ah. And the verb is I see.
Avochat. It should be Buddhism.
I'm not sure.
Or maybe some Vedic word.
I don't know. I'll just make a question about it. I don't know what this is, because you have then, this is, see, the Vedic grammar is something different. It may not be bhutesha. It may be some subjunctive form or something. Or something, maybe, because bhutesha in aorist, in Vedic Sanskrit, is not only one tense. It's a mood, and all the different tenses can be in the aorist. You can have five or six different aorist tenses. So this may not be the regular past aorist, this is a different aorist. Therefore it may not have an augment, not that belongs to the, it may not be avochat, it may be just vochat. I'll check the grammar. Check Vedic grammar. That vochat isn't actually a vochat. Okay. But I think you may have a form vochat without the in Vedic language, because there are different kinds of aorists. All right, I will stop now and continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.